Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather here this morning to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just to remind those who will be participating, we will have our confirmation class, the first of our confirmation class after worship today, so it will be immediately after worship we'll be gathering. So it's going to be again, right after worship, our confirmation class. It will be the first of several that we will have. It's basically for young people who have been baptized when they were young babies, but anyone could become a part of that. Adults are welcome to join in as well. It's always a wonderful opportunity to learn both the Presbyterian tradition as well as our larger Christian tradition. So that is a welcome to everyone, but that will be immediately after worship. Because we will we're having special dedication for Rose Sinderling's gift, we will not be doing our regular liturgical procedure. So we'll be going in immediately after our welcome and announcements to acknowledge the Rose Sinderling's gift. So we will not be following the regular protocol, so please pay attention to your bulletin and don't look aghast when we don't, when something is not done in place.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31, and it is found on page 878 in your pew Bibles. Please listen to God's word. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." At that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "Lo, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many that are first will be last, and the last first." This is the word of the Lord.
I like what the young man asked Jesus in our reading this morning. He asked, "How can I inherit eternal life?" An inheritance, we all know, is the passing down of a gift, a wonderful gift, like the gift we received from Rose Sinderling, a gift bequeathed to us. One of the wonderful things about a grace-filled world is you never know where a gift is going to come from. Sometimes they come from people that we might expect, but sometimes they come from the most surprising places and from the most surprising people. We've already talked before about Ociella McCarthy, a woman living in Mississippi who spent her whole life washing and ironing other people's clothes. She never made a whole lot of money, never availed herself of the kind of luxuries that have become necessities for many people. She just saved her money that she made, and in the end, she was able to make a wonderful gift to a local university, a gift of scholarships, four scholarships, over $150,000 she was able to give. People were amazed because they didn't know she had that kind of money, but she saved and saved, and that's what she did with her money. She always wanted to go to college, always wanted to go to school. She had to drop out of school in the sixth grade, but she says, by the grace of God, I'm going to help make it possible for people to take the opportunity that I never did have. And so this little woman gave $150,000 for scholarships. She could have spent that money in lots of different ways, could have spent that money in availing herself of many comforts and luxuries, but she didn't. She saved and saved for that goal, to be a blessing to someone else. From the standpoint of the world, Jesus doesn't seem to have much to offer anyone. He doesn't have any property. He doesn't have any accumulated wealth. In the eyes of many people, he's just a wandering preacher on his way to Jerusalem, and we all know what that means. He's on his way to the cross. He's on his way to die. But as Jesus is making his way towards Jerusalem, this man comes to him speaking of an inheritance. How can I inherit eternal life? This story is often called the story of the rich young ruler. And that's because in Luke's version of this story, the man is called a ruler. And in Matthew's version of the story, the man is called young. But Mark doesn't say any of that. Mark just says that he is a man, which is a little bit disconcerting because he could be any of us. Mark just says that the man has lots of possessions, but that could still be any of us, any of us Americans. Many of us have lots of possessions compared to people around the world. Many of us have cell phones, we have computers, we have cars, we have clothes, we have lots of food, we have lots and lots of stuff. So this man is just like all of us. But even with all of his possessions, this man knows that his stuff is not enough. He knows he needs more. He knows he needs something else, something that speaks to the very depth of his soul. And what he needs and wants is God. And so he does all the right things. He goes to church on Sunday. He reads his Bible, perhaps applied to him by the Gideons. He says his prayers. He even adheres to all the commandments, just like all of us. So when Jesus asked him about it, he says, yes, I've done all of that since I was a boy. I've followed all the commandments. I've done everything that I know how to do, everything that I'm supposed to do. But how can I have eternal life? How can I inherit life eternal? And the text tells us something interesting, but hardly surprising given what we know about Jesus, given what we know about God. The text tells us that Jesus loves this man, just like he loves all of us. And it's because of that love that Jesus essentially tells this man, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a gift, a valuable gift, something you need to treasure and hold on to. And here's the gift. All of those possessions that you have, get rid of them. Go sell them and give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me. That's the gift. Isn't that a wonderful gift? You think that's a wonderful gift? No. The rich man didn't think so either. He sort of slunk away when Jesus says that. In fact, he's the only person in the Bible who doesn't accept a direct invitation from Jesus. He turns Jesus down. He goes away. His heart is heavy. All because of money. As a pastor, I always enjoy reading the commentaries on difficult passages like this one. And I've come to appreciate the inventiveness of those who want to convince us that Jesus really didn't mean what he actually has to say here about possessions. Jesus was just cautioning us about not letting our possessions and our stuff grip our hearts. But have you ever noticed how passages that have to do with money hardly are ever mentioned by those who often speak the loudest about adhering to the Bible and being biblical and getting back to being biblical and praying that our country adheres to biblical standards? Almost never is money ever mentioned, particularly passages like this one. I wonder why. Remember what this man wants. He wants to inherit eternal life. And that doesn't mean that he just wants to be sure that he's going to go to heaven one day. I'm sure he wants that too, but that's not what he's talking about. What he wants to know is how he can be a part of God's coming future. He wants to know how he can be a part of God's coming kingdom, the way things will be when God finally has God's way with the world, the way things will be when things are done on earth, here on earth, just as they are in heaven. He wants to know how he can be a part of that right now, how he can be a part of life right now that has God at the center of it. But Jesus knows that he can't strive to be a part of God's coming world while trying to hold on to this world. You can't have two masters. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to ignore one and give your devotion and your attention to the other. So Jesus says, I'm going to give you this gift, this wonderful gift. Go and sell all of your possessions and then come and follow me. Fact of the matter is that the more enmeshed and weighed down we become by our things, the more unlikely it is that we are going to give our hearts to the kingdom. The more we devote ourselves to wanting to accumulate stuff and to protect our stuff and to make sure we get even more stuff, the less likely it is that we're going to be devoted to God's coming future. In fact, the more stuff we have, the more stingy we often become, the more stuff we have, the more we become enmeshed in the world, I heard someone say one time, boy, if I win the lottery, all of my problems will solve. I won't have any more problems. Well, maybe. Maybe all the problems you have now will go away, but you'll just have more problems. You'll just have an accumulation of problems. Money always brings its problems. And so Jesus says, I'm going to give you this gift, this wonderful gift. There was a story about a young monk who wanted to get close to God. And so he asked his spiritual superior if he could just set up a little lean-to next to the river, and there he would devote himself to God. And so his superior said, sure, that's fine. And so that's what he did. The monk would set up a little lean-to next to the river. And each night he would wash his one robe, and he would put it out to dry. And one morning he was dismayed to find that the rats had torn his robe to shreds. And so he begged for another robe from a nearby village, only to have the rats destroy that one as well. And so he came up with a plan. He says, I'll get a cat. And so he bought a cat that would help to deal with the rats. But he discovered that the cat needed milk. And so he said, okay, I'll get a cow. And so he bought a cow so that he would have milk for the cat. But the cow needed hay. And so the man went in and he bought land so he could have some hay. And he had to buy hire workers so that they would help cut the hay and provide the hay. And so on and on and on. The more he became enmeshed in the world, the more and more he needed. And soon he found that he was the wealthiest man in the region. And several years later, when his superior came back, he found a mansion in place of the hut. And he asked the monk what in the world was going on. And the monk replied that this was the only way that I could keep my robes. It's easy for us to move away from God, the more we become devoted to the things of this world, the more we become devoted to our possessions, the more we become devoted to the pursuit of wealth. And that's what our society encourages us to be, have more and more stuff. And in order to get more and more stuff, the latest newfangled stuff, the latest technology, the latest fashion, the latest whatever it is, we need more and more money, and we give ourselves over to making more and more money so that we can have more and more things. And we start forgetting the kingdom. Millard and Linda Fuller were a very successful couple. They were millionaires while they were still in their 20s. Can you imagine that? Being so young, having lots of money, being able to do whatever you want to do, have your whole life ahead of you, and having all the money to do whatever you want to do. That's the American dream. That's what lots of people strive for. That's what a lot of us want. Yet as a couple, they were not very happy. In fact, they were downright miserable. They were constantly arguing and bickering with each other, constantly at each other's throats. And then one day they just decided to call it quits. They planned to divorce and go their separate ways. But then they remembered the gift. The gift that Jesus gives this man in our passage. Go get rid of your stuff. Get rid of your money. Go give it to the poor and come back and follow me. Give yourself to me. And that's what they did. They gave all of their money away and rededicated their lives to Christ and rededicated their lives to each other. And in keeping with the kingdom, they embarked on a whole new ministry, a whole new journey, building houses for low-income people. The ministry was called Habitat for Humanity. And it's still going strong, replicated not only here in the United States, but also around the world. And I suppose they could have done that all the while they were keeping their money, but they wanted to make sure that their heart was in the right place. Because they knew that where your treasure is there, your heart will be also. And so they took the gift. The gift that Jesus offered them. Jesus doesn't tell the man to get rid of his possessions as any kind of punishment. Jesus doesn't tell him that because Jesus wants to be mean in some ways, but Jesus knows that in the kingdom of God, there will be no rich people. In the kingdom of God, there be no one that has more possessions than what they need. In the kingdom of God, there be no one that's above and anyone that's below. In the kingdom of God, the last will be first and the first will be last. And Jesus says, if you want to start working for that kingdom now, if you want to start striving for that kingdom, if you want to inherit the kingdom of God, go sell your possessions and come and follow me. Part of the challenge that we have as Americans, particularly North Americans, part of the challenge that we have is being people who live in a part of the world where we have so much is we have to grapple with whether or not we will be willing to get rid of some of our privilege and our advantages for the sake of a better world. That's hard to do. Hard for us to get rid of our advantages for the sake of having a better world. I was reading something the other day about, I believe it was about climate change and cutting emissions. And please understand, I know nothing about climate change. I'm not a scientist or anything. But they were talking about cutting emissions. And if we didn't cut emissions, the world was going to get hotter and hotter. But the great challenge with being able to do that is that you and I live in a part of the world where our whole way of life depends on that. And so we're not going to give that up. It's going to be hard for us to give that up. It's going to be hard to get rid of our privileges. It's going to be hard to get rid of our advantages for the sake of a better world. But Jesus says, if you want to inherit God's coming kingdom, God's coming future, you have to give up the things that secure you and anchor you in this world. You have to give up the things that you believe can save you now. You have to give up the things that give you purpose and meaning, the things that you've devoted yourself to so that you can devote yourself to God's coming future. All the smart money says that we won't be able to do that. All the smart money says that those of us who have a lot won't be able to get rid of our privileges, even for the sake of the kingdom. But Jesus says that with God, all things are possible. With God, It's a possibility. With God, it can happen. It can't happen on our own. We won't be able to do it on our own. But with God, all things are possible. And that's why people like Ociella McCarthy and Linda and Millard Fuller and our own dear Rose Sinderling are so important because they're the examples that say it can be done. We can do it. We can live lives that are oriented towards the kingdom. We can live lives that are not dominated by a desire for money and for things. We can do it. It can be done. Rose Sinderling left us a wonderful gift. She blessed us with a wonderful gift, and you all know we needed it. But the even bigger gift that she left us was her example. The example of someone dedicated to God's coming future. The example of someone dedicated to living life that has God at the center of it. Jesus says, I have this gift, this wonderful gift, if you'll accept it. This wonderful gift, if you'll take it. Let go of your possessions and the things that you believe anchor your life and come and follow me as I lead you all into God's coming kingdom. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for all that you give us and show us. We often believe that the way of life is by holding on to what the world tells us can fortify our lives, can ensure our futures, can give us the best possible life now. But you have turned the world upside down. You have showed us that the best way to fortify our lives is by directing our lives towards you and your coming kingdom. Lord, help us to be the kind of people that puts our faith not in our things and our possessions, but who put our faith in you, who put our faith in the love that you have for us and the love that you call us to have for each other. Help us to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he shows us what it means to anticipate your coming kingdom. And we ask all of these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.